What an adventure. At the end of that first hour, you began to recognize the association that appears to have been present with you then. Are you listening to me? Listen. Then is now. If you let it be included in with the idea that I gave you concerning your relationship with yourself. What's an important thing we learned in what we call the Sermon on the Mount in the New Testament? Say to me, New Testament procedure, ideas leave not their source. Say it. Yeah. So that your idea that you had about that last 30 minutes, or 1,000 years ago, or 2,000 years ago, in regard to objectively what you want to see, are ideas that are always only contained within your own mind. What does Jesus remind us of? The kingdom of God is in us. What we see within our kingdom cannot not reflect how we feel about ourselves in relationship with the pain and loneliness and death we are finding in this correspondence of space-time. The very simple solution, are you listening? Invite your enemy in. Listen, the very simple solution I'm offering you, if you can take it from me now. Yes, I'll get to Romans 8 in a minute. Romans 8, Paul is going to say to you, I'm very certain who I am in this correspondence. Yet when I try to offer it to the contingencies of location in space-time, they are in a fundamental matrix of non-creative light in which they find a momentary correspondence in a location that in a literal sense denies them access to the light or idea of the totality of their relationship with their creative source. Ideas leave not their source. I saw you just had an idea there about the Christmases that have gone, or the Easters, or the celebrations that you perform as coming together as human beings. and the joys that you feel in aggregations of temporal identity that confirm a power of love and forgiveness, yet are lost to you each moment because of your identity of objective dark form light within self-association. Though we have just determined from a science mind idea that the moment we locate something entirely outside of ourself, it's not there. So we live in the idea of a misalignment of ourself in ideas about separate images that prevent us first from seeing that our brother is an idea about ourselves. And secondly, as he suffers, we will suffer. As we forgive, okay, he will be forgiven. Because the singularity of our correspondence in mind, let's say quantum, in a quantum instant, will utilize the energy of the Holy Spirit, which is electrodynamic light, with a power a billion times greater than what we're employing in our minds, to show us the conversion of what was previously our body form in what we now term resurrection. Practice, from a science standpoint, at no single moment does my body exist. Say it. Obviously not. The body that you brought into the first half hour is over and gone. To protect it, you base your objective associations on what's there. You then take it in your mind, project it into the future, and live within this little sequence of time. You listening to me? This is from Paul. I intend to disrupt you. I'm going to take the message of Paul through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and show you the availability of, I'm going to try something with you. Say to me, another me. Listen, if it is true that you are an objectification of the location of the corrupt, what you call natural man association, the other you out there is verifying who you think you are. Neither one of you are true, because at the speed of light, by the time you find objective identity, say to me, it's already over. Yeah. So if you let your ideas that began to become involved in the first hour of our representation with each other, we will have an hour of a past association in which I showed you the immediacy of a correspondence that will never leave you. It can't leave you as long as you want to hold it in memory as a momentary solution to the entirety of your problem. Listen, but each time you look with human eyes about you in the dim association that correspond to slow time, you find that you have lost for that moment the certainty of your own self-identity. I'm offering you my certainty from Scripture that you brought the light of the entirety with you when you came into the chaos, and that we can enhance it. Let's try I love you. Boy, I love you. Yeah. Yeah. What is it you love about me? Everything. Shall I tell you why? You're perfect and whole as you were created. Shall I tell you something else? You don't have anything to say about it. Stop letting this world, in the corruption of ideas of separation, tell you within your own dream of death who you are. Practice. I'm not who I thought I was. Will you say that to me? Say it. This is what Paul wants us to say together. I promise I'll get to Scripture in a minute. Paul says, when I went through my devastation, I knew perfectly well that after Jesus spoke to me, that I would take his message out into the world. I held it within the certainty of my mind, only to discover that when I attempted to present it to the world, I was immediately attacked and reviled. This is from the Scripture. Very simply because the contagion of association of addiction of dark form, the emotion involved in justification for location was literally the opposite of the creative source of all reality. All power is given unto you in heaven and earth. Look with me. What you've been afraid of is the power of the light of universal mind. You, right there. Okay. The vehicle of communication is prayer. What we offered each other in the previous hour that you now carry with you through Jesus Christ, who incidentally is right next to you right now, I promise you he is, saying to you, I am risen. I'm giving you the power. I expect you to carry the message. You have been ordained to perform this act. Come on. You got the Holy Bible here. I just gave you the reference of Isaiah that said the time has come and would when you would fulfill the prophecy. Do you believe someone else is going to fulfill it? I'll fulfill it for you if you let me. But in your recognition of me as objective from you, you deny the fundamental necessity for the prophecy in the realization it must occur here and now if it's going to occur. Did that stretch that a little bit for you? As a quantum physicist, you are certainly aware that your view of me objectively based on the momentum of the location of the speed of light is verified only by the immediacy of your association with yourself. And when you find that association with me, which you just did right there, when you begin to examine the manner in which it came about, lo and behold, you can't find any manner in which it came about. And the reason you can't find any manner in which it came about is that communication is instantaneous. Do you see that with me? As much as you're going to object to an association of correspondences with each other in objective association, we will either communicate instantly in any location, are you ready, that we want to agree on, or we will locate instantly in our separate associations that will verify instantly any location in the universe. Now, can we be certain of any place in the universe? How can we be certain of any other place in the universe without objectifying it and therein denying ourself and where we are in the separate idea? Any problem you have, obviously, with my association of quantum physics is my very fundamental determination that you understand the universe's power of mind. And this is what Paul is going to say here for us now in Romans 8. He's going to say that in the power of our recognition of each other, God is with us. Because God is with us here and now. The advent of a great awakening is your awakening from the dream of death that held you in the bondage of the devastating moment of separation. Communication has been reestablished. And you're preparing to leave this continuum. Practice, would you like to have what I'm offering you be true? Have you reached a point in your own objective association of your body where you recognize that you were destined to suffer a conclusion within this time frame that you identify as death? For no apparent reason. Because death would be a verification to you that there was no apparent reason for you to be here at all. What I'm offering you in the certainty of our exchange of love that occurred at that moment is a new purpose for being here. And Paul in Romans says, what are you doing out there? He is resurrected. He gave us a new reason within our body form and our correspondence in the formulation of a church that demonstrates his resurrection, a purpose for being here. Listen with me. Where therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and it's just and it's good, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. What a strange idea that Isaiah says, when you're doubly sinful, you found the solution. I'm not sure you hear that. One thing for sure, you listen to me, objective ideas of body, you believe somewhere within your relationship that death is necessary. This is what this says. This says, yes, we can love each other, but only in our association with death. I saw a Nobel Prize winner yesterday, much to my sorrow, say that war was evil. And I agreed with him, and the next sentence was particularly troubling to me. He said, war is necessary. What happened? The conflict we share together is a necessary evil. You're gonna hear this? This is from Paul and from me. A necessary evil is therefore good, because it's associated with your goodness. What utter insanity. What utter ridiculous idea that the retention of the conflict, even though it's evil, is necessary in our association with good without making good evil. Not possible. If war is necessary, there is no good. You better start hearing me. I can tell you finally are going to decide, hey, that must be true. The problem you'll have at that moment is you begin to undergo your own experience. You look out into the world and there's nothing but conflict there. You find yourself then associating with one good that says that war is necessary and another good that also says that war is necessary because they're both making a fundamental admission that separation is necessary to sustain life, very simply because war is the justification for death. I'm speaking of my body from the Second World War. Everything I did for my country and the love of my brother was my determination to justify a goal of peace and harmony and love that I could find in my country as an American, and I found it. And I watched those around me that I love die in justification that war was necessary to justify good, and I'm tired of it. And if you believe that makes me a pacifist, you are dead wrong. There is no solution in pacification of war, because the pacification is the admission of war. You can't be neutral in an association of the conflict you share of the nothingness of what you think you are, an objective association. Thanks for putting up with me. I get a little enthusiastic about the simplicity of my message. What did we read together in the idea of a single light that will afford us through prayer that certainty? Did I forget to pray in the second hour? Oh, yeah. I just got reminded by your guardian angel that I forgot to pray. What guardian angel? The one that's standing next to you. You say to me, can you see my guardian angel? Ask me. Well, sure. It's a thought you shared with anyone else in your need to find relief from the conflict. Look with me. The relief for that conflict through your guardian angel is available to you at this moment. Listen, your guardian angel is a product of the extension of your own mind in the prayer that you made for the solution to the problem. Is this Romans 8? We'll make it Romans 8. Because the dilemma of Paul is the self-recognition of his association with God and the world's denial of it. Here comes that prayer I promised you. Listen. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Do you hear what I just said? If you believe it, it can be true for you. If you believe there's a guardian angel helping you and you want the result of your own mind, it's impossible you won't get. I'm using, in Course in Miracles International, we're distributing millions of these. It's a Jesus is Praying book in which are his prayers and his stories of associations of himself with you in the New Testament and his Course in Miracles. Let's complete this prayer. Did you hear me? You heard me. This is called the Word of God. In Aramaic, in the beginning was the Word, means created action. In objective association, I have an idea that there's something outside of me that's different within the creative action of universal mind or the power of light or the idea of eternity. There's not. And when you get out there, you discover to your surprise that you've taken yourself with you. And as you identify yourself, you will be. Here comes our prayer now in a direct link with the power of your mind to desire a solution that is not connected to this world. The solution that I am offering you is literally unworldly, because there is no solution in objective associations of forms of light in which you find yourself in separation. Listen. Once more. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. I need but look upon all things that seem to hurt me, and with perfect certainty assure myself, God wills that I be saved from this, and merely watch them disappear. I need but keep in mind my Father's will for me is only happiness, to find that only happiness has come to me. And I need but remember that God's love surrounds his Son and keeps his sinlessness forever perfect, to be sure that I am saved and safe forever in his arms. I am the son he loves, and I am saved because God in his mercy wills it so. Together, Father, your holiness is mine. Your love created me and made my sinlessness forever part of you. I have no guilt nor sin in me, for there is none in you. We're communicating. The purpose and value of this 2 hours in the procedure of what we are terming the greatest story ever told is nothing but a fundamental admission that you individually within your own mind are a story about yourself as a body who comes into this form, identifies with civilizations of solutions offered in the utilization of limited power, okay, and deny yourself access to the entirety of what you brought with you in the certainty that it had to be present with you. How do we correspond with each other? Through self-recognition. Say to me, I know who I am. I know you do. Are you happy about that? Are you happy that you've discovered deep within your heart, through the idea of forgiveness, that the associations that were present with you out there were only ideas that you had about yourself. Remember what we said in Sermon on the Mount? If ideas don't leave their source, the idea you have about him has to be an idea that you have about yourself. And if your idea about him is one of revenge, one of your need for reciprocity, one of your need to justify your associations of conflict and death, are you listening? So will it be with you. The decision to change your mind is a fundamental admission within my tradition that our Savior Jesus underwent an experience or an ideal, okay, of the conversion of his body form in a new manifestation of light that is present and available to you within your own memory factor. Listening? From Paul, who just showed up here in the studio. You should see him. You want to see a guy that was determined after he had persecuted Jesus and the Christians. When he underwent his conversion, everything he dedicated himself to from that moment was the recovery from the guilt that he had caused in the idea of the denial of the resurrection. We call that atonement. All I want to assure you of is that while you can be guilty of separation, listen to me, this is a quantum idea, you can only be guilty of it in its entirety. And if you are guilty of it in its entirety, it will include the entirety of your individual location in your own black hole identity, we call it. Jesus loves the idea that I'm teaching that your Gethsemane is a black hole. You've searched and searched for the solution, and finally you look at yourself and you say, simply, there isn't any. You ask for the prayer of solution rather than the prayer of the retention of the separation. And it is given you through the power of love and forgiveness. Fast 27 minutes. I'll be back and we're going to conclude it in one glorious expose of the conversion of objective light to the realization of instantaneous quantum communication. Let's say it together. God goes with us wherever we go, because God is the mind with which we're thinking and employing the power of singular mutual recognition of each other. God bless us, each and every one. Stand by. So the discovery of quantum reality is a moment of an exposé that occurs in someone who is seeking in a science way to justify objective reality. There isn't any such thing as objective reality. As troubling as that would be to me previously, or to you perhaps at this time, there's no possibility you're going to locate yourself anywhere in time. Now, your attempts to locate yourself in time are what objectify your ideas at the speed of light. Yet I'm determined through this Paul in Romans to read you a little bit more about how he felt in his own devastation, in his attempts to convince the aggregation of objective reality of the new discovery that he had made. Listen. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good, even though I know perfectly well it's not. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It's my natural man in association with myself. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good things, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not, very simply because I need to make the continuing assertion within my own mind through my discovery that Jesus is present with me at this time. Okay? So who you are pretending to be in your identity with your associations with the world, look with me, the front that you put out there as a teacher, let's say you're a Christian, and you're going to present a front that contains, in a very fundamental sense, your recognition of your own saviorship. This is directly from Jesus. Okay? Who is going to say to you, the Father has given you all power. Who is going to say to you, greater things will you do than I have done? Who is going to say to you, you are empowered to make that decision within your own mind and heart? And you look out there, and you're immediately confronted, this is from Paul, with a front that you have put out there that reflects back to you a false you. Because the front that you see out there is just as false as the front that comes back to you in recognition of yourself. Can you see this with me? So that when you turn, let's turn here, will you? When you turn and correspond with the association that's outside of you, you get a reflection of a false you. Say to me, this is the mind training of our Course in Miracles. I am upset because I see something that is not there, yet I'm determined to hold on to it. It's called the ego, in my identification of myself being confirmed by who? The world. So then when you as Paul, formerly Saul, now Paul, or from you as formerly a natural man, converted to a continuing recognition of yourself, presented to the world in slow time holds you in the bondage of its refusal in an illusionary aggregation of particle wave identities to see the truth that is represented by you in them. Practice. You, individually, have the insight to recognize there is no outside, and that the reflection you're getting back within the aggregation of the memory patterns that you hold in your mind concerning your objective association are always over and gone, and therefore totally meaningless. Listen, this world, this occupation of annihilation, this idea of temporal existence is totally unreal. You ready? It's not unreal because I tell you it is. It's unreal very simply because it's not whole and perfect in the mind of universal consciousness. Or better, it's not real very simply because it's particleized in the idea of separate objective associations. Now, what are you afraid of most? The collapse of time. The second coming, which is going on in the world now through the Course in Miracles, is nothing but the particulars of an accumulation of alternatives within human relationships. These are moments of forgiveness that have accumulated sufficiently to convert the dark energy of form that previously constituted the matrix of separation in its conversion through love and forgiveness, the light begins to penetrate into our correspondence with each other. Practice. I'm the light of the world. Say it. You following Jesus? Yeah. What did he tell you to say? He told me to say, I'm the light of the world. Are you going to follow him? Yeah. You know the problem you have? When he attempts to lead you, as I am attempting, he appears to be leading you into darkness. That cannot not be so, because you are protecting yourself from the light and love of God, which is the constitution of his body form. In the last 78 minutes, there are literally millions of aggregations of separate galactic associations that have begun to communicate with each other in the realization of the illusionary nature of this dream of death that heretofore has held you in the bondage of the idea of annihilation. Is he risen? He's risen. Does he now tell you there is no death? And as much ordeal as this is going to put you through, human being, you will not be successful in self-annihilation. Very simply because there's no such thing as annihilation. It's the same idea as there's no such thing as location in objective physics, in Newtonian physics. You apply the momentum or energy contained within ideas of materialization and utilize that energy to find correspondences in light. What happened to you? You, physicist, the guy who wrote this lovely book, this is The Mystery of Quantum Entanglement. If you missed the first hour, what Paul expresses to you is this certainty of the possibility we can entangle each other anywhere in time in self-recognition that will justify any other location in the instantaneous communication of ourself if we won't try to do it in momentum. I'd love to be able to read you a couple of paragraphs from that book if I had time. I just read you a couple of paragraphs from it. But in order to do it, I'm going to have to give just a little more justification to Romans 8. Listen. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Of course, it's my objective association. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of separation which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Are you listening? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So I don't have to identify myself objectively, even though in the confirmation of my location with myself, I have done so. Huh? Oh, that was Romans 7 rather than 8? Oh, that's interesting. I think what I did was prepare you in the scripture for my certainty that the responsibility for this world is in your mind. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the results that I want. And everything that is happening to me, I choose with the memory I have about myself as incorruption or the idea of sin, or the idea of a particle wave association that justifies the, I like to use carbon and hydrogen and oxygen. My body is surrounded by a nitrogen cloud that I am fearful to allow the penetration of the love of God to enter. Yet I am whole and perfect as I was created. I'm showing you, within a physical sense, the entirety of the possibility for instantaneous communication if you will not attempt to identify and justify a measurement between the objective associations. With your permission, and this is a book on quantum entanglement, I'm going to show you how Paul in the scripture, it'll just take a minute, defines what he needs to do in our relationship with each other that will be verified in the idea of what we must call the uncertainty principle of the mind of Jesus Christ. Because our Savior is going to say every single time you become certain about who you are, you're nothing. Because certainty about who you are is not what you are in the entirety of universal mind. I'll try it. Listen. Heisenberg's uncertainty principle is fundamental to quantum mechanics and brings into quantum mechanics the idea of probability theory on a very basic level. What does it say? It says that uncertainty cannot be removed from quantum systems, very simply because the quantum system, is what uncertainty is. I'll try to read you a little more. Say to me, I'm very uncertain about this. Good. I want you to be uncertain about your location in space and time. Yet in your uncertainty occurs your need to defend yourself and employ your uncertainty in a certain fashion. That's the falsity of objective association. Does that mean anything to you? You're very certain, even though you know you're not certain, that you can find certainty objectively. Quantum mechanics says it's impossible. Listen. The principle says that the product of the uncertainty in the position of a particle and the uncertainty in a momentum of the particle is greater than or equal to Planck's constant. I'll explain that in a moment. The implication of this seemingly simple formula are immense. Here's why. If we know the position of the particle to very high precision, then we cannot know its momentum better than some given level of accuracy, no matter how hard we try and no matter how good our instruments may be. Now listen, conversely, if we know the momentum of a particle to good accuracy, then we cannot know the position well. The uncertainty in the system can never go away or be diminished below the level prescribed by the formula of Jesus Christ. Because the formula of Jesus Christ says very simply, if there's a distance between you, by the time you reach the distance based on the momentum, nothing is going to be there. If you locate it precisely outside of yourself, there's no manner in which you can come to know it. The simple truth of the matter, is that a little bit too difficult for you? It's called the theorem of uncertainty. It's very simply the idea that you can't be located. The problem you'll have with this book and the author here, the author obviously has entirely separated himself. Apparently, for whatever reasons he would give me, he intends to be a human being within the idea of a universe contained within light form identifies his body and somehow retain conceptual ideas concerning this while remaining separate from his objective observation, even though he just said that any time he objectifies something, it loses its relevance in regard to his separate location. That's an interesting factor to me that you can recognize in the idea of momentum or acceleration when you get there. See if you can hear this with me. When you get there, you will have already been there. So you can see it's not necessary for you to leave where you believe you are within your own mind to find the solution, because I am in your mind, offering you a power of light with what appears to be my body association in the illusion of correspondence. Now, you can say to me, I don't believe you, all right, and retain your illusion of your own location, of yourself, concerning this old guy, 3/4 century old body in this little limitation, who has been confined to a little mud ball for 75 circulations of a single containment of what you call a star, unable within your own self to recognize the entirety of a universe that's all around you that can be contained within your illusion of location in a reassociation of the power of your mind to decide that the source of both the problem and the solution is in you. He is risen, and he is representing to you the singularity of the history of the species. It's very simply the idea that as you identify yourself in a condition of consciousness, you are an invention of space-time within your own mind that justifies the moment of separation. Yet that moment in separation lasted but a moment, and had absolutely no effect on you. The new quantum identity that I am offering you through our Savior at this time is, in a literal sense, your salvation. I'm speaking to you in the first person now, so that perhaps you can identify that the I that I am is speaking of the I that you are. And in the recognition of the singularity of our mind, we will have a totality of a moment of the loss of the conflict of pain and loneliness and death that previously justified our need to love and lose. I'm going to threaten you for a moment. Trust me with this. You can't lose the things that you love. All of the ones you thought you lost are all around you, saying, we're not lost, we're not lost, we're here with you. We're alive through a process of recognition in a new continuum of time that you can now share. Here's just a little bit, if you'll trust me with this, about a declaration of the first person nature of my Savior, Jesus Christ, when he talks to you in this continuum. Will you listen with me? What a celebration. You who have spent your life in bringing truth to illusion, reality to fantasy, have walked the way of dreams. For you have gone from waking to sleeping and on to yet deeper sleep. And each dream has led to other dreams, and every fantasy that seemed to bring a light into the darkness but made the darkness deeper. Why? Your goal was darkness. Your goal was objective associations of form in which no ray of light could enter. And you sought a blackness so complete that you could hide from truth forever in complete insanity. What you forgot was simply that God cannot destroy himself. The light is in you. Listen. Darkness can cover it, but cannot put it out. You, who are now the bringers of salvation, have the function of bringing light to darkness. The darkness in you has been brought to light. Carry it back to darkness from the holy instant to which you brought it. Listen, we are made whole in our desire to make whole. The light is shining in you right here and now. Let not time worry you, for all the fear that you and your brother experienced is really over and gone, isn't it? Listen, time has been readjusted to help us do together what your separate paths would hinder. You have gone past fear. Why? No two minds can join in the desire for love without love's joining them. Look, not one light in heaven but goes with you. Not one ray that shines forever in the mind of God, but shines on you. Heaven is joined with you in your advance to heaven. When such great lights have joined with you to give the little spark of your desire, the power of God Himself, can you remain in darkness? Of course not. You and your brother are coming home together after a long and meaningless journey that you undertook apart and that led nowhere. What's happened? You found your brother, and you will light each other's way. And from this light will the great rays extend back into darkness and forward unto God to shine away the past and so make room for His eternal present in which everything is radiant in the light. Look, beyond the bodies that you interpose between you and your brother, and shining in the golden light that reaches it from the bright, endless circle that extends forever, is your holy relationship, beloved of God Himself. How still it rests, in time and yet beyond, immortal yet on earth. How great the power that lies in it, for at its center, Christ has been reborn to light His home with vision that overlooks the world. Would you not have this holy home be yours as well? Why, no misery is here, but only joy. Together, we will disappear into this presence beyond the veil, not to be lost but found, not to be seen but known, and knowing nothing in the plan God has established for salvation will be left undone. Listen, this is the journey's purpose, without which is the journey totally meaningless. Here is the peace of God given to you eternally by Him. Here's the rest and quiet that you seek, the reason for the journey from its beginning. Those who offer peace to everyone have found a home in heaven that the world cannot destroy. Why? It is large enough to hold the world within its peace. In you is all of heaven. Every leaf that falls is given life in you. Each bird that ever sang will sing again in you, and every flower that ever bloomed has saved its perfume and its loveliness for you. What aim can supersede the will of God and of His Son, that heaven be restored to Him for whom it was created as His only home? Look, nothing before, nothing after, no other place, no other state, no time, nothing beyond nor near, nothing else in any form. This can you bring to all the world and all the thoughts that entered it and were mistaken for a little while. How better could your own mistakes and dreams of death be brought to truth than by your willingness to bring the light of heaven with you as you walk beyond the world of darkness into light? We're going to take that walk together, aren't we? We have a minute 35 seconds within this time frame to decide that this is the time we chose to come together in this moment of self-recognition and see ourselves at the end of the journey. This is why I'm only here for 3 days. They call me the master teacher. Why? I came here yesterday. I'm going to be here today, and I'm going to lead anyone through the message of Jesus that wants to leave this continuum out with me tomorrow. so that the entire message of this video to you at this time from the satellite now that's broadcasting this all around the world is the energy and light and love that we are expressing in self-certainty as the inevitable destiny of our escape from our own annihilation. We found a new purpose, didn't we? We're going to share that purpose together as we leave this continuum of time. Thank you for your tolerance of my uncompromising certainty of your perfection. Whether you want to accept it or not, you are whole and perfect as God created you, despite what this world of pain and death has told you that you are. And we're going to return to heaven together at this time and place. Because God goes with us wherever we go, being the light and joy and love that we're sharing in the celebration of our escape from time. Say it with me. God bless us, everyone, right here and right now. There's a tremendous amount of light all around you. You're suddenly turning and recognizing each other in this new frame of time, and it's expanding and will contract. And expand and contract and expand so that you can do it instantaneously in this new location. I'm here, and I'll be here until this is over, but you've only got until tomorrow. That was it. I'll see you on the other side. Your prayers are answered. Knocking it will be open. Seek and you will find. Your name has been called.